Tango Tango Papa 2049, March 14th, 2020.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Brooklyn, Iowa. It's kind of in, that's located along Interstate 80, and I guess it would be the eastern part of Iowa, kind of in between Des Moines and, Quad Cities area, Davenport, Iowa, Moline, Illinois. I don't remember the name of the four towns there that make a kind of make a metropolitan area on the eastern edge of Iowa along Interstate 80, and it kind of spills over into Illinois. But it's, kind of halfway in between. They call it Quad City, so it's halfway in between there and, roughly, and Des Moines. So, in any case, it's, kind of, things have been going along just, the same for me. Nothing's really changed for me. My job goes on, of course. Now everything is, in the past few days, it's just, coronavirus. So-called COVID-19 virus. And that, has just really kind of taken over everything. And, the virus is real. There's a temptation to believe that it's, kind of a conspiracy and what have you. And of course, the media did hype it up, because it was, they just all of a sudden they go from one thing to the next to the next. And they've actually done that for years. I've often wondered, thought about, how the media goes, it's like they go from one thing to the next, and it's almost like they're focusing, they focus on one thing obsessively, and then sooner or later they start focusing on the next thing obsessively. And I wondered, what is that? What, it's like, it's almost like a shifting focus. The same things, the same sort of thing happened, If you read about the French Revolution, the kind of the way it developed and the way it proceeded, the same sort of thing was happening. It kind of shifted, the focus sort of shifted around from one thing to the next thing to the next thing, and I realized what that is. It's mass hysteria. Is really what it is. Is the media the focus of it? Yeah, probably. But can they incite it? They probably can. It's nothing new. It's mass hysteria, I think, was obviously around before we had television and radio. There was such a thing as mass hysteria. Maybe it may have moved slower. Of course, you had before you had television and radio, you still had media. You had newspapers, I think, primarily. And there may have been, some other ways of news being transmitted. Maybe people gossiped more about it. I'm sure there are things that we don't realize. Because people are people. Socially, people have not changed at all. As I've said before, you go back to the biblical times. Just read the Bible. you know, and read those stories in the Bible, and it becomes really clear that once you get past the biblical language, it becomes really clear that those people back then, they were gossiping, and they were talking about this person and talking about that person, and this group and that group, and all of the same things that we do. We think we're modern and we're more sophisticated and what have you. The only thing that's better is knowledge. Technical knowledge. Communication is one of the things that is able to improve. That has the effect of speeding things up. But otherwise, socially, we're exactly the same as they were. Morals have a tendency to kind of go up and they go down. And I think if you could figure out the right the right set of elements, moral elements, to quantify and plot them out on a graph, I believe that it would resemble a sine wave over time. It would go, the morals would go kind of up and they would go down. That would probably coincide very nicely, at least that's my theory. It would probably coincide very nicely with different events that would take place in history. But be that as it may, it is there is an element of mass hysteria. And mass hysteria, as I say, it's always been around, but I personally believe that it's much more dangerous and more likely when you have a larger percentage of the population that is suggestible. Then it becomes much more dangerous, mass hysteria is, it's one thing. The virus is real. I believe the virus is real. I've listened to a ton of YouTube videos about it, about the coronavirus and kind of what's going on, particularly in Italy. And, the Italian, the area around Milan, Italy is, northern Italy. Thousands and thousands of cases, and so their hospital system, their healthcare system, as far as intensive care beds in their hospitals, are almost to the breaking point where they can't accept any more patients because they don't have any more. They've got a limited ability to. Limited capacity for intensive care patients. And so, at some point, really soon, they're probably going to have to start turning patients away. And people are going to die because there's just not enough manpower and equipment to handle it, handle the volume, handle the demand. And really a situation you don't want to be in. But it is a concern. But what's happening with with the mass hysteria, and there's some cases here and there, and there's going to be more cases. The virus itself does seem to be contagious, maybe highly contagious. The majority of the population, the people that get it, it can be moderate, mild, sometimes severe. And, certain populations, older people, people my age, in my age range, unfortunately, are more at risk of developing complications from it. And people with other so-called comorbidity health problems. You know, they've already got, you know, let's say they have diabetes or overweight, you know, those types of things. Then they get this virus. Then it perhaps becomes more likely that they may end up with the pneumonia, the really life-threatening pneumonia that requires them to be, you know, put on a, you know, some sort of a breathing apparatus. And as I say, those are limited, you know. So if you end up with massive numbers of patients, then there's going to be a certain percentage of those that have to be on a ventilator, and there are only so many ventilators in a given area to go around, and so then it becomes a triage type situation. But beyond that, you know, there is mass hysteria. The thing with the toilet paper is ridiculous. You know, why? Whoever thought? I think it you know, the idea may have came. I don't know how the idea of hoarding toilet paper as a, you know, sort of a, in the event of the apocalypse or whatever. That's, you know, it's kind of like a mass hysterical idea. I don't know where that came from. Was it did a movie suggest that? Was it someone just suggesting it? And then, but I think, I don't know where it originated at, but I think that people are doing it because they're hearing about other people doing it. And they think, well, oh, it must be smart to hoard toilet paper or hoard the hand sanitizers type thing, you know, which is ridiculous. You can't eat that, you know. If you're going to get anything, you know, get some food maybe or something, but toilet paper, it's a carbohydrate. I wouldn't eat it. You know, it's not, even though it's a carbohydrate, it's probably not going to keep you alive. So, and you can only use so much of it. So I think there's going to be a bunch of people that are sort of stuck with lots of toilet paper, probably. So, but, you know, but a lot of things, you know, they've closed, you know, NBA, I guess, has suspended their season or whatever they, you know, I don't know the different sports. I don't really follow it, but I've just kind of heard people talk about it and in different headlines. Now, I just received a thing earlier. Walmart is closing their 24-hour stores. They're going to be not open 24 hours anymore. They're going to be open from 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. And the reason that they're giving is that they want to be able to restock the shelves and do a good job of cleaning the stores. Now, that kind of makes sense. And I don't know. I've heard people, I haven't been in a Walmart store lately. I've hauled Walmart loads. I just got rid of one this morning. I was out in North Platte, Nebraska. And I was teasing the people there about, saying, "You selling a lot of toilet paper?" That was at the distribution center, and they laughed. So we were joking about it, but, that kind of makes sense that they would, use that, but what I started to say was that, people have said that some of the stores, even in Northwest Arkansas, people were just, you know, the shelves, some of the stuff was not even stocked because people had, it was so busy. You know, people buying everything in sight, which is weird. So, yeah, I think people, you know, some people may be panicking. I don't know. But it is a form of mass hysteria. Now, I don't see any sign that, the supply chain is threatened at all. There seem to be just as many trucks and other vehicles on the road, you know, that people don't realize the trucks going up and down the road are an integral part of the supply chain, as I've often talked about. Now, if something happens where that gets interrupted, watch out. Then there's a problem. You know, if the trucks ever, you know, something happens where the trucks can't go up and down the road, you know, and the volumes that you typically see, there's a problem then. Now, I think one of the reasons the stock market has gone down, and I haven't really heard too many people talk about it, you know, besides the, you know, because they love to focus on the hysterical aspect of the market, which there always has been, but, you know, you look at the port, like the busiest, I think it's the busiest port in the world, the Port of Los Angeles, or if it's not the busiest, it's like one of the busiest, Long Beach. All of this, that's shut down. You know, the stuff coming from China is shut down. So that is why the stock market is going down. You know, if that makes, or at least a large, in large part, that makes sense. Because all of a sudden, you know, all this global, people want all, you know, the cheapest labor possible, and so they ship all of the production to China, and then China, all of a sudden, China has to shut down. Well, guess what? There goes your, that part of the supply chain. But most, the vast majority of food, you know, is, that's, you know, it's Canadian, or some of it's from Mexico. The vast majority of it, I believe, is, you know, our food is, you know, we grow our own food, or, you know, it comes from domestically. Although, as I say, some of it comes from Canada, some of it comes from Mexico, probably a lot of it comes from Mexico, depending, you know, maybe some of the vegetables or what have you. But, you know, so I don't think there's a lot of food products that are coming from China. But, that, you know, those ports have, you know, this stuff has kind of trickled off because, of, you know, China had to, you know, sort of just close down and really try to contain the virus, you know. And that's really, I guess, what you have to do is just prevent people from kind of coming in contact until the virus has a chance to, you know, it just has to have a chance to die down, you know, someone... When you recover, you know, let's say you're infected with something. I was just listening to a thing on YouTube about this doctor, and, you know, I guess it was maybe in 2013 or something. I'm not exactly sure. I'd have to go back and listen to it again, you know, for the date, but and I probably could look it up. But the University at Nebraska at Omaha has this biocontainment unit, and so there was this doctor, and I kind of vaguely remember the news story about it. There was this doctor that he was, you know, volunteering in Africa, and he ended up contracting the Ebola virus, which is highly contagious and very deadly. And so he was an American, and so they brought him to the University of Nebraska to that containment unit. Kind of a biocontainment unit, intensive care type place, and he was able to recover from it. You know, but there, of course, there was no vaccine, or it was a virus, and viruses typically just have to. Although there are some antivirals that, you know, that'll work in some cases. I think like Tamiflu or something will work in some certain instances with viruses. There are certain things they can do, but viruses just typically have to run their course, and you develop immunity. But that guy, he was the patient was a doctor, and he actually, after like 25 days, he made a full recovery. And they, you know, they did the lab tests, and they figured out that he had no more virus. No more virus was present in his blood, you know, anywhere in his blood, or, you know, what have you. And so then he's fine. So, you know, if you can contain the people that have that and then they recover, then, you know, the viral load is gone and that's that. And then the thing dies out. But as long as people are, you know, kind of passing it around, now one of the problems with this coronavirus is that, you know, they say that you can... the so-called incubation period is like 2 weeks. So you can be, you know, spewing viruses left and right without any symptoms. You know, kind of contaminating all the people around you. So, what to do? Well, I have, you know, what am I going to do? I'm just going to go about my life. I'm just, you know, going to go about my existence, and, you know, certain things may have to change. I may have, you know, while this is going on, I may not go to Walmart, you know, at midnight, which I rarely would do anyway. That would rarely happen. But, you know, so that part has to change. Maybe the movie theaters close. Maybe I don't go to movies, you know, because I do go to movies at fairly, you know, at least once, you know, depending on what's available. You know, I'll go to a movie or what have you. So I may have, you know, that part may change. But otherwise, you know, I'm going to keep doing my job, obviously. Yeah, that has to go on. So, now I will say I've, you know, of course I've listened to tons and tons and tons of, you know, the medical type stuff on YouTube, especially stuff, you know, regarding the, you know, this low carbohydrate diet. One of the things I've heard over and over again is that viruses, you know, and this is generally true. I don't know if it's specifically true with this coronavirus, COVID-19 virus, but I know that, but generally speaking, viruses will replicate much easier in people that have high blood sugar levels, high glucose levels. So you don't, you know, therefore, you don't want to be spiking your blood sugar level. You know, even if you don't have any problem at all, you're not diabetic, you're still you know, you eat a bunch of carbohydrates, you still end up spiking your glucose level. It goes up, and then your pancreas, you know, pumps out the insulin and pushes it back down. You're much better off, to my way of thinking, not doing that, regardless of whether you have any kind of problem or not. You're much better off if you just, you know, keep the carbohydrates out of your diet, especially the really bad ones. Pasta, potatoes, rice and bread, cakes, cookies, candies, ice cream, all that crap. Keep that out of your diet, and keep your blood glucose level as flat as it possibly can be, so that it doesn't vary much. Just go, you know, you eat and it might go up a little bit, and then it comes back down. But you know, the typical person is eating, and you know, they all that crap that they eat, and then it, you know, it causes it to really spike, and then they, especially if that's why, if you, you know, you eat a big meal, great big meal, and then you want to collapse in front of the TV and sleep because you're you know, you've had this giant spike, your pancreas has to pump out a bunch of insulin. And then all of a sudden, it overshoots, and your glucose level goes down, and you get really sleepy. You know, so if you cut out the carbohydrates, the way I have, it's kind of, you know, my body has kind of switched to using burning fat instead, ketones. And, you know, it still uses glucose. Glucose is a certain level is necessary. In fact, the liver can, you know, happily produces the little amount of glucose that you need. But the body works, most of the body's cells work just fine burning ketones. And viruses just don't replicate as well people that have low glucose levels, you know, and you don't, you know, so keep the glucose, you know, just kind of a, you know, between 70, let's say 70 and 100, 77 and 100, something like that. Maybe no more than 110 on the top side, or, you know, and you keep it in that range, that, you know, that's fine. You know, and then it just stays there. That's one of the things, as I've said before, that's one of the things that I really like about being, you know, after cutting out the pasta, potatoes, rice, and bread, I don't have the thing where I feel like I, you know, I want to sleep, you know, in the middle of the day, where I'm just, you know, especially when I'm driving, you know, just, you know, they have this feeling all of a sudden that I want to, you know, that I want to take a stop and take a nap, and I can't. And that just doesn't happen anymore. You know, and that's not good anyway. That's bad. For you, you know, you're driving and you can't stop. You know, and you feel, you know, start feeling drowsy. So that doesn't happen anymore. So, you know, there used to be times when I'd sit, you know, I'd be at home and I'd sit in the recliner in front of the television and just, you know, end up going to sleep. That really doesn't happen anymore either. And I really like that. I really like the fact that, you know, my, you know, I end up being kind of perfectly, aware all day long, and then whenever I do sleep, I sleep. So, but watch out for the hysteria. You know, that is the danger of living in a world with so many suggestible people. And, you know, who are the suggestible people? Do you know anybody that was one of the people that hoarded toilet paper, that's doing the toilet paper hoarding? I don't. You know, now I haven't talked to a bunch of my friends or relatives. I don't know. But hopefully there, you know, but there may be. There may be a friend or relative that is one of the people that's doing that. But who does that? But if you know somebody, somebody's doing it, because it's happening all over the country. But it's not happening. I looked in a convenience store. I was in the Flying J at last night, and I happened to remember to look. I was at this Flying J in North Platte, Nebraska. And so I looked, and, you know, they had some paper towels, for some crappy, cheap paper towels for sale. And then they had like three rolls of toilet paper on the counter, you know, on the, you know, same little counter. There they were, like three something a piece for sale. So they didn't hoard those. So I don't know if that's just a department store phenomena, but who's doing that? You know, and whoever's doing that is suggestible, because that's illogical. There's no reason. As I say, you can only use so much toilet paper. So, but that's the danger. That's in fact, I would say the mass hysteria, the potential for mass hysteria is actually more dangerous than maybe the virus is. Because the virus itself, you know, yeah, it's a real virus. I think it's a real thing. It's going to hit. It is hitting. And, you know, the people may already have it. I'm sure there are people that have it and don't know it yet. They don't have any symptoms as of this point, and they're spreading it around. So it is a concern. It really is a concern. So, and there will be, you know, you look at China, you look at Italy. You know, now we really can't trust the numbers that come out of China. You know, just kind of all, you know, all, since that's a communist country and they have a tendency to lie, you know, more so than other societies do. Because it's, you know, you know, because the, you know, in a communist country, the people are all, you know, they're lying, they're sort of falsifying their existence. They're sort of, in other words, they're sort of lying to each other. They're lying at every level of society. That, you know, that's what enables a communist country to kind of exist, is people lying to each other at every level of their existence. So you can't trust the numbers that are coming out. They're probably, if anything, they're probably much worse than what they've said. But you can, you know, more likely trust the numbers that are coming out of Italy, because it's not a communist country. You know, and those numbers aren't going to be perfectly accurate, but at the same time, we do know that as I was saying before, their healthcare system is on the verge of, you know, it's right on the verge of being completely just saturated, overwhelmed. And people are not going to be, even though that's a really, that's a really rich area. Milan is like the richest area of Europe. What's going to, you know, they're going to end up being people that can't be treated because there's just not enough manpower and equipment to do it. So, you know, the idea is that you sort of lock countries down, you know, because the United States is, you know, sort of several, you know, like almost 2 weeks behind Italy as far as the epidemic or pandemic goes. You know, we have a chance to sort of just, you know, limit or, you know, slow down the transmission of the virus. You're not probably not going to stop it, is, you know, because people have interaction with each other. And you know, one of the things, and I heard this, and I have no reason to doubt it, you take 1 liter of seawater, 1 liter, you know, imagine a 1 liter bottle of whatever. That's not very much. 1 liter of seawater contains 100 billion, with a B, billion viruses. 1 liter, just 1 liter of seawater contains 100 billion viruses of different types. So we depend on our immune systems. And I've said this, you know, I've said this before, so it really comes down to, you know, to being able to depend on your immune system. So you have to, you know, you want to be physically, you want to, you know, kind of not overdo the sugar, you know, kind of cut back on the sugar and the, you know, anything that spikes your blood sugar, because that's, I think that's bad. And then the other part of that is to remain as calm as possible, and to be as genuine as you possibly can, you know, with yourself. I really believe that that has a lot to do with how your immune system is able to respond. Because if you're, you know, it's well known, if you're hysterical, if you're, you know, you get really super emotional for whatever reason, you get really upset, it's well known that you're probably going to end up with some sort of, you know, bad illness can happen. You know, there are plenty of instances where people, you know, they have some sort of dramatic thing that happens to them, and then not long afterwards, they end up with some bad illness. You know, so it's, you know, the one thing you can control is your own reaction. You know, so you know, but it, you know, we will end up being affected by the virus, you know, and, you know, if we haven't been, we will be, one way or the other, even if it's just the Walmart closing type thing or whatever. But, you know, from 11 o'clock to 6 a.m. But otherwise, you know, some schools are closed for a while. And that's, there's going to be more of that where, you know, they have to, you have to keep the kids home if you have kids. But otherwise, I've refused to participate in the hysteria. Whatever happens, my attitude is whatever happens, happens. You know? So, anyway, I've got a comment that Joel sent me a few days ago, and I actually listened to the first couple of minutes of it, and he is actually talking, as I suspected he would be. He's talking about the coronavirus, COVID-19. So here is Joel.
Hey, Tom, it's Joel. Hopefully this comes through okay. I haven't actually listened to your last time. I'm probably going to go ahead and listen to it right after I send this, but I thought I'd send you something. It's on everybody's mind, mostly because of media, but COVID-19, which is the novel coronavirus, it's really become the new impeachment. You know, the media, I think the biggest problem with the media now is they're so, especially now, they are so concerned with getting the ad dollars. So they're going to do anything, including blowing stuff well out of proportion in order to just to make a buck, which is why, big reason, and I know you turned them off, I have too for the most part, but of course I see the overflow. That's really all I get is what I see via Facebook and hear from some of the other shows I listen to. But if you actually look at it, coronavirus itself has been around for quite some time. In fact, the common cold is thought to be caused by a coronavirus, not this coronavirus, but a coronavirus. And about 80 to 90% of the people who get this may not even know they actually have it, because the symptoms are so generic. They're so similar to other viruses going around that people won't think anything of it. And I won't say until it's too late, because in 90% of the cases, it's not going to be too late. The only people that have to worry about this are the same ones that have to worry about the influenza that we don't freak out over anymore. So it's just, and the markets are being hurt by this because of the speculation, and the media is being so disingenuous of this. Even Glenn Beck has hopped on the wagon with that, and I never even thought he would. Never really listened to him much. In fact, I probably need to go in, unlike his page, because I think he's crazy. But the short of it is every 2 years we've had something like this. Instead, SARS, H1N1, you had MERS, you had, I'm trying to remember all the ones there were, but we're still here. We'll steer here. And it's just, if the media doesn't have something to freak out over, if it doesn't have impeachment, has to have something to drill it into the ground. So the thing that just bothers me with this, though, is one, I've had my company actually canceled its annual user group, and now they're switching it to a virtual. And we're doing the same thing with our next team meeting. We were supposed to go down to Florida. Now, granted, there are other reasons that we probably aren't going to do it. One is it's expensive for us to do that. because half my team lives in another state. Their other half is down there. You got hotels, airfare, meals, all that stuff, that still happens. So we're gonna make a virtual team meeting for my team as well. They've also given us the ability. So like, I don't travel much for clients anymore, but they give us the ability now that if we have to travel to a client, that we can cancel the travel if they're leaving it to our best judgment. So in any case, I think with the run on total, and you know what's funny is I guess it depends on the area of town you live in or the city you live in. But as many I've seen reported runs on Clorox wipes and on hand sanitizers and stuff like that. I really haven't seen that here. Of course, I really haven't had the need to, although I did have to make a run to the store yesterday to get some toilet paper, and they had toilet paper. So, and I bought a normal size pack, mostly because usually what we end up doing, and I forgot it this week, I usually end up buying it at Sam's Club because it ends up being cheaper. So I buy the whole big pack over there, like 22, 30 rolls or something like that, and that lasts us about a month. So, in any event, though, I really haven't seen that or the run on bottled water, at least here in Columbus where I live. I also saw a story. Now, I don't know whether to believe it or not, but I saw a story on Twitter of it was basically a picture of a bunch of empty shelves and then a news crew and then all the stuff that was on those shelves stacked behind them. So they were staging the run on the toilet paper and the Clorox wipes and crap like that. Now, I have seen certain things, like for example, since January. Now this is not related to that, but since January, one of my favorite pain relievers, which is Excedrin Migraine, and a lot of their Excedrin products have come off the shelves. And the reason is not come off the shelves; they sold out. And part of it's basically a manufacturing issue. It's going to come back. It's just a matter of when. So unfortunately, I'm about out of it. And fortunately for me, I haven't gotten any headaches. But so those are the empty shelves I've seen. And I've seen some like I saw one empty shelf somewhere. I can't remember what it was for, but I don't think it was for any of the typical things with this. But people are losing their ever-loving minds over this stuff. And it's all because of the media. And the people who don't listen to the media or listen to it with a skeptical mind are thinking the same thing I am. So take care, stay safe, drive safe, wash your hands, do whatever, But don't panic. I know you're not. I know I'm not either.
Thank you, Joel. So, the thing that we really have to worry about is the mass hysteria. Because I do believe the virus itself is real. I think it's a real thing. Going back to as I say bef as I've said before, I listen to lots of YouTube videos. So, the video that I listened to just earlier that I was listening to just before I started this podcast, before I stopped for the evening here at this truck stop, that was probably from 2014, 2015, and they went through the list of viruses, the Ebola and the, what was it, SARS and the different viruses. And there were people back then, because some of the videos it'll pop up, they were from the time, from a number of years ago. Sometimes news stories. And they were talking about these different, you know, SARS and the different ones, and how dangerous it was, and they were predicting that it was going to be a mass epidemic and sweep the world and what have you. And, you know, maybe it was an epidemic. You know, the Ebola was a very serious epidemic in Africa. It was quite serious. It did come to the U.S., you know, and slightly, but it never really amounted to anything. But fortunately, but I think there's a difference with this virus, you know, because in other words, you know, what I was saying before, you know, the mass media, even with these other viruses, they were trying to, you know, there were people that were gloom and doom, and they were trying, I think, to create some hysteria, you know, but it just didn't happen. It takes two to tango. You know, mass hysteria just doesn't happen. You know, you can, I guess, you know, you scream fire in a crowded theater. If you have suggestible people, then, you know, they may all, or if, you know, somebody starts running, then a bunch of people will start doing it. Kind of monkey see, monkey do. That may be, you know, going back to the toilet paper thing. That may be why people are hoarding toilet, because they hear other people are doing it. So, oh, I better do it too. I better buy some toilet paper and Clorox wipes or whatever. But the, you know, you have suggestible people. We, you know, and we have to live with these suggestible people. But this virus, I think, there's a difference, you know. And if you go back a month or two ago, you know, there was videos that were making the rounds on YouTube, you know, where they were actually welding, you know, from China, you know, they're welding people into the, you know, into their apartment buildings, welding the doors shut. Okay, so that, you know, that was from more than a month ago. You know, and then now you've got I'm sure there's probably a lot of news stories out of Italy, you know, the really prosperous part of Europe. You know, and the whole thing being overwhelmed, their healthcare system, because there's so many people that are on ventilators. And it's about to overwhelm, you know, they're about to run out of manpower and equipment. So I think, you know, this is different. Even though, yeah, you know, most people may have had it. You know, I may have had it. You know, a few days ago I had a little virus of some sort. The roof of my mouth got a little sore. You know how that, you know, like you catch, you know, some sort of a virus. And, you know, most people know how that, what that feels like. The roof of your mouth gets a little, feels a little weird. Gets a little strange. And then that happened, and then I had a little mucus, very little, and then that was that. And it's gone. So I might have, it's possible. Did I have it? Probably not. It's probably some other virus. I heard this thing the other day, and I have no reason to doubt it. Take 1 liter of seawater. And there are, you know, 100 billion, with a B, billion viruses in 1 liter of seawater. So, you know, we live in a sea of germs, of, you know, bacteria and viruses. We just, so we depend on our immune systems. But our immune system needs, you know, it needs the right physical conditions to work, but then it also, you know, I think the overpowering thing is our own attitude. You know, it really, you know, because you can eat, I really believe you can have bad food. I was eating bad food and still have the right attitude, and you know, before I changed my diet, I was relatively well. I had a few little problems that I didn't realize that I had, that, you know, once I changed my diet, those problems went away. No more acid reflux, for example. Lost over 30 pounds. The, you know, the weird dry skin allergic reaction on the heels of my feet went away. You know, cracking heels, that's pretty well gone. Only thing I changed was my diet. And I think less inflammation. Which I think, by the way, that's also important. You know, get not only, you know, reduce the glucose, you know, keep your blood glucose levels as steady as possible, but, you know, but also get rid of the grains. I think that's the reason why the problem on the heels of my feet is cleared up, because there's less inflammation. You know, and part of the problem with this virus, if you're one of the people that has a bad reaction, you know, maybe the reason is because you've got, your immune system is out of whack because of what you're eating. You know, you're eating the wrong proteins. You know, there are several proteins in the modern grains that our bodies really don't know what to do with. And there's some pretty good evidence that those proteins can end up causing your immune system to cause your body to sort of fight itself. So you end up with, the pneumonia thing. You know, you have a, you know, almost like a storm kind of reaction. I think it's called a cytokine storm. You end up with this storm reaction of your immune system going crazy. And you end up with all this inflammation in your lungs because the virus tends to center there. And you end up with all, you know, it fills with fluid and you can't breathe and you die. You're not getting any oxygen. They have to put you on a ventilator. You know, so if you can, you know, that's another thing, is to, you know, eat foods that reduce inflammation or get rid of the foods that cause inflammation. Inflammation is a real thing. You know, it sounds like a nebulous thing, but it's actually a very real thing. So once I changed my diet, I had a few things clear up, but attitude is also extremely important, and attitude can overcome a lot. But at the end of the day, you know, I think it's important. And I know it's important for me personally to be able to spend time with myself, to be able to be conscious. You know, we've been blessed with this consciousness. It's an incredible thing. You know, this whole existence. I've always had the question, why do I exist? That question has always been with me, even, you know, from the very first memories that I can have, from a child, you know, when I, you know, I kind of can remember that question was always there. Why do I exist? Why am I here? And so I believe it's very important. I've proven to myself that it's very important for me to be able to spend time with myself without distraction, being just enjoying the gift of being conscious. Being conscious of this awareness, you know, being conscious of this existence. You know, we as human beings, we have this kind of dual nature. And if you can really be still, you know, there's a line in the Bible, be still and know. Be still and know that I am God, it says. And that really kind of explains it all. If you can really do that, you realize that we as human beings, we have this dual nature, you know, and I've described it before, you know, and you got the Jiminy Cricket figure on one side, you know, so you know the right thing to do. But then on the other side, you've got this other thing, kind of the devil, you know, the guy in the pitch with in the red jumpsuit with the pointed tail and the pitchfork, sort of whispering in the other ear, you know, telling you that, you know, that you should do this because it's going to be your advantage. You know. So there's these almost like two different things talking to you as a human being. And so it's really useful to be able to be conscious in the moment, calmly, patiently conscious in the moment, allowing that, or being aware of both of those sides, and you know, kind of realizing, you know, what would be the right way of saying that? You know, allowing conscious to catch up with you, but also realizing, you know, is this the right thing to do? Why, you know, what are my motivations? Why am I motivated to do whatever? Should I do this? Should I do that? Am I only doing it because it's to my advantage, you know, because I think I'm going to have, you know, in the back of my mind somewhere, I think I have this advantage. You know, kind of the advantage, you know, that people think they have, they're in a construction zone and they try to zoom ahead of everybody else before the road closes down to one lane. Or, you know, like swiping the pin from the bank, or the, you know, because they think, ooh, free pin. That type of thing. Am I doing, you know, what is my motivation? So I've personally found it beneficial to be able to just, since I've been blessed with this awareness, this mystery of my own existence. Why do I exist? I mean, think about that. Why do I exist? Why do we exist? Why am I conscious? What is the purpose of consciousness? And I find it incredibly useful to be able to just spend time contemplating that, contemplating those questions. And doing it in such a way that there are no distractions. So it's my personal belief that if you can do it, and I really believe that my ability to do that has ended up enabling me to have a pretty good immune system and to not only that but to live a very drama-free life, to have a very drama-free existence. And not, it's almost like I'm in my, I've described this before, it's almost like I'm in my own little bubble. Because the mass hysteria, it goes on, it may seem like it's getting worse, particularly right now. The mass hysteria is getting worse, but somehow I'm in this world, and I'm looking out, and I see all the interesting things going on, the crazy things going on, but the relationship that I have with whatever it is that created me, whatever it is that sustains my existence, whatever it is that made me aware, whatever it is that makes me aware, whatever it is that sustains that awareness, that's given me the ability to be aware, somehow, the relationship that I have with that is profoundly unaffected by what goes on. So in other words, I'm in the world, but I'm not of it. Putting it another way, my mind is not formed from the hysteria, from the mass hysteria. So I think it's very important to be able to, going back to that line out of the Bible, be still and know. That's incredibly important. Why do I exist? What is the purpose of my existence? It's important to be able to honestly ask yourself those questions. Really, it's really is. And now, I'm guessing, I don't know, there may be people that don't ask those questions, or they may think those questions are too dangerous. Or, you know, maybe those questions make them anxious. I don't know. But I've always had those questions. So, but I do believe, you know, it's increasingly important, you know, for, you know, if you want to, you know, if you're tired of being subject, you know, kind of made of the mass hysteria, you know, there is another way. And I mention it once in a while. Go to my website, truckertompodcast.com. Up at the top, there's a link that says meditation. Click on that. That'll take you to a page, and there's about three or four files that you can download or play on your device, right there on your device, MP3 files. You can, they will teach you a very simple meditation technique. And it, you know, it's just a very simple technique that will really teach, you know, kind of teach you how to, or help you learn how to bring your point of awareness out of your thoughts and kind of into the present moment. Because that's really all there is the present moment. That's where your creator is in the present moment. That's where your savior is, in the present moment. So this, it's a very simple technique that, as I say, it'll, you know, kind of help you learn to bring you the point of, you know, because we have this point of awareness. We can kind of be aware of one thing at a time, really. And normally, you know, the average person, they're caught up in the same thoughts, and they just kind of go around and around and around like a little rat in a squirrel cage, going nowhere fast. So this meditation technique will help you learn how to bring your point of awareness, and it will actually, you can actually prove to yourself that you are not your thoughts. You know, if you want, you enjoy being, you know, kind of high anxiety, then I don't think there are, you know, really, maybe there are people that enjoy being anxious. I don't. But it is possible to be in this world and kind of see what's going on and all the crazy things and not, I'm just kind of profoundly undisturbed by it. You know, and, as I say, you know, the relationship that I have with my creator, you know, you want to call it faith or whatever you want to call it, that is profoundly undisturbed by what I see going on around me. And it's going to get worse. You know, you think it's bad now, just wait. It's going to get worse. Not going to get better. if you want to get rid of your anxiety, you know, here's, you know, give that meditation technique a try. I can't promise it's going to help everybody, but I do believe that it will help most people if they try, if they actually try it. I think some people think they, you know, they might pay it lip service, or they, you know, do they actually try it? And if you find that it actually helps you, it's up to you to continue it. You know, you can't just do it once and expect that that's it. You know, you got to keep doing it. You got to keep practicing it. You have to be motivated. You have to find the self-motivation. If you really want to find your creator, you have to find the self-motivation to do it. So anyway, probably better be bringing this to a close. Hope everyone has a great weekend, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.